Meanwhile, Robin did something foolish. He sent a scout to seduce Sugriva from his loyalty to Ram. The Rakshasa Sukha, by name, flew across the ocean and in disguise met Sugriva in secret. With every appearance of benevolent solicitude, he spoke to him thus.
Robin, the king of Lanka, has sent me because of his affection and regard for you. He sends you his fraternal greetings. You are a king, and so is he. Thus there is no sense in your staking your high heritage and making common cause with a disinherited prince against an all-powerful king. If Robin desired Ram's wife and carried her off, how does that concern you? What do you lose by it? Consider this thoroughly and choose your course with discretion. It is most expedient that you and your army should return forthwith to Kishkinda.
But Sugriva's response was scornful and definite. He said,
Wretched person, go and tell your king that he is no brother of mine. He is wicked, and being an enemy of my friend Ram, he is my enemy too. And we are out to rid the world of him and his wicked gang. He is a fool to imagine that he can offend Ram and still survive. Tell him that there is no escape for him. Tell him all this, as from me.
When Sugriva delivered this message to the Rakshasa spy, the Vanars caught hold of him and began to handle him roughly, but Ram sternly forbade it and set him free to go the way he came. The spy rushed back to Lanka and conveyed the result of his adventure to Ravan. As soon as Vibhishan's devotion was accepted by Ram, Lakshman and Sugriva crowned Vibhishan king of Lanka and performed the bathing ceremony with seawater. Vibhishan pledged unbreakable friendship to Ram, and Ram in turn gave his word that he would not return to Ayodhya without slaying Ravan. Then Sugriva, Vibhishan, and Lakshman deliberated on how to cross the sea. They thought it best to begin with a prayer to the ocean god and submitted their opinion to Ram. Ram accepted their counsel and, spreading darba grass on the seashore and laying himself on it, began a fast. He then petitioned for a passage across to the king of the sea. For 3 days, he prayed to the ocean god, but received no response. Then Ram, his eyes glowing with anger at the sea god's arrogance, turned to Lakshman and said, Persons who are low-minded mistake courtesy and gentleness for weakness. Mildness is simply wasted on them. See now how I shall bring this proud sea to its senses with my arrows, which shall not only choke it with the carcasses of mighty fish, but even dry it up with their fierce odor. Bring me my bow and quiver, Lakshman. Then, bow in hand and blazing with wrath, like the destroying fire at the end of the world, he shot arrows that were irresistible as thunderbolts into the bosom of the sea. These missiles of power disturbed the sea to its depths, carrying death and dismay to all it contained. Then the tortured waters began to exhale steam in their agony. It looked as though Ram in his wrath would convert the sea with its infinitude of waters into a desert of blazing dust, bereft of all life. Finally, the sea god could stand it no longer. Shining like the rising sun behind Mount Meru, he appeared and stood before Ram, his hands folded, and said,
My lord Ramachandra, I am am subject to the laws of nature, like the earth, air, space, light, and all the constituents of the universe. How can I depart from my nature, which is to be vast, deep and wavy and impassable? But I can do this. Ask the Vunners to bring boulders and trees to build a causeway. I shall permit it. I shall help you by receiving and keeping in place the rocks and trees. This is all I can do, and I shall also show the most favorable place for this causeway. There is Nal, son of Viswakarma, with you. He has the ability to build this path. May victory be yours.
Ram, true to his nature, graciously accepted the sea god's apology and offer of help. And then, ordered by Ram, they all began to work. Thousands of Vunners went at it with enthusiasm. The Vunners went to the mountains and forests and, lifting rocks and trees, dragged them to the shore. The bigger Vunners brought big boulders and threw them into the sea. As they fell down, the water splashed up sky high. Nal stood and supervised their labors. The leaders in charge of companies kept them active. On top of the rocks and trees, when the base was firm, a dressing of grass and little pieces of wood was given to produce a level surface. The noise raised by the dam builders drowned the roar of the ocean. Soon the construction was complete. The new path shone across the sea like the Milky Way in the sky. Hosts of gods above rejoiced as hosts of Vunners shouted below in exultation. The demigods and the rishis uttered benedictions. Then they stepped on the causeway. Hanuman carried Ram on his shoulders, and Angad carried Lakshman on his. Then the Vunner army crossed the sea. Meanwhile, in Lanka, seeing the host arriving, Malyavan, Ravan's aged grandfather, tried his best to impress on Ravan the error of his ways. He said,
"Your time of good fortune is over. Your sins have begun to bear their fruit and to dim your radiance. You can no longer trust the boons you have re-obtained from the gods. Make peace with your enemies. Look at the army that has arrived, the terrible host of Vunners and Bears. Look at that wonderful causeway so quickly built. It seems to me that this Ram is Vishnu himself and has come in human form."
Ravan had no patience with such talk and said,
"Your words are like wormwood in my ear.
It looks as though you too have joined my enemies. Are not human beings well known to be weaklings? Why are you afraid of this wretched man, driven into the forest by his father? And he relies on the support of monkeys and bears. And you are afraid of him? Really, I am ashamed of you. Or could it be that you cannot bear to see me happy? Why do you talk like this to me? I cannot bend before Ram. If it is wrong policy or wrong ethics, I cannot help it. You may take it that it is a part of my nature, and I cannot change it. I would far rather die fighting than to beg Ram for peace.
Malyavan replied,
Consider well, and do what you think best.
And he returned home, uttering the usual benedictory words,
Victory to the king! Victory to Ravan, my grandson!
Ravan carefully stationed his warriors. He posted Prahasta at the eastern entrance, Mahaparsva and Mahodar at the southern entrance, and Indrajit, his illustrious son, accomplished in the arts of secret magic at the western entrance, while he himself guarded the northern entrance. Virupaksha the Mighty was appointed commander of the army within the city. Having ordered the disposition of his forces and chief warriors, he felt assured of victory. He listened to no one and foolishly believed himself unconquerable. The ministers raised shouts of victory to please the king and then dispersed. Ram, Sugriv, Vibhishan, and others held a council of war. Vibhishan duly laid before the council the information gathered by scouts who had gone out and watched Ravan's arrangements. Then he said, In numbers, strength, and courage, the army, now mobilized by Ravan, surpasses that with which he opposed Kubera, the god of wealth. Still, I have no doubt of Ram's victory. Ram distributed his forces to meet Ravan's deployment and assigned to each commander the task he was to perform. He ordered Neil to meet Prahasta at the eastern gate. Angad was to meet Mahaparsva and Mahodar at the southern entrance. At the western entrance, Hanuman was to encounter Indrajit, the master of black magic. He further said, Lakshman and I shall meet Ravan, the terror of the world, and we shall direct the assault on Lanka. Sugriv, Jambavan, and Vibhishan shall stay behind with our main army. The army rested for the night on Mount Suvale. The following morning, standing on the mountaintop, they took a good look at Lanka. The beautiful city on the summit of Trikut seemed as if suspended from the sky. Behind the thick fortress wall, the Rakshasa army stood sentry, looking like another massive wall. Observing the great and beautiful buildings in Lanka, Ram was moved to pity, saying, Alas, because one person drawn by the noose of time has committed a sin, all this wealth and the whole Rakshasa race must now be destroyed. Alas, that this scion of a noble race should forget his real greatness and draw death and destruction on himself and his people. However, we should now focus all our thoughts on the task before us, to win this battle and destroy Ravan. There will be much confusion in the course of the battle. The Rakshasas will try to trick us with many disguises. Let the Vanars and bears retain their own shape while fighting. Only Vibhishan and his friends should assume human forms like Lakshman's and mine. The Rakshasas, our enemies, will never take the form of man or monkey. They would think it beneath their dignity to do so. If we stand together, maintaining order, we can know who is who and slay our enemies and help our friends.